Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Dallas people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
So yeah, I could not be a drug mule. Too forgetful.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the club at Carlton Woods for the 2024 Chevron Championship. Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance out here live at the Chevron Championship. The beautiful, beautiful Nicholas Course here at Carlton Woods. We're in the media center, surrounded by glass, and we have this beautiful lake right in front of us, right in front of the ninth green here, where the ladies will be teeing it up today in a practice round, and then they will be doing it for real for the first major of the season right here outside the city of Houston. So it's fun. It'll be here for five straight years. Last year was the first year. Lillian Wu was the champion. She beat Angel Yin in a playoff, and we will hear from Angel Yin a little bit later in the show. She's going to stop by, and everybody says she's fabulous. She's got a great personality. She's a lot of fun. You can, Lance, I'm sure you guys, maybe you can do some voices for her or something. That would be fun.
You're the one that does those voices.
I don't do those voices.
Those are your voices.
No.
I do more European voices.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can do some European voices for her, or some Southern voices for her.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
She might enjoy that. We got a lot to talk about this morning. Our baseball team is just bad. It's just not good. You went last night.
Yeah.
It was so boring you had to leave.
Yeah, we had a little walk back to the car. We grabbed a happy hour pizza and some old fashions at Tiny Champions, walked over. And then, nice walk off the pizza, walk off the cocktail walk, and then got in there, settled in, Force Whitley caught the first pitch. It was just game atmosphere, no big deal. Braves fans show up like they always do. And then just nothing from the offense.
Nothing.
Hunter Brown did, by Hunter Brown's standards, he threw a no-hitter.
Well, no, he's a major league pitcher.
He got a quality start.
He did. He pitched six innings, gave up two runs. I don't know that seven. Once he gave up a couple of hits in the seventh, got to get him out of there. Get him out. even the first hit, maybe you get him out of there, and you give him. He's got to have some confidence from this start.
I probably would have shut him down after six. But I mean, he was pitching okay. Three strikeouts, three walks. It's still not.
No.
I don't know what's happened to the strikeouts for the Astros. I just don't know. Where all the K's per nine. I mean, there was such a great swing and miss pitching staff. I don't know what's happened.
Well, five on the DL, that's what's happened.
Yeah, but even the guys who've pitched, Javier's not a swing and miss guy anymore.
No,
not really.
No.
Fromber, not as much. We'll see what happens when JV comes back. I mean, he wasn't punching a lot of guys out in his minor league starts, but he was just working on sliders, I think.
He was just working on stuff, Lance.
That's what the streets are saying. He was just working on his pitches. He wasn't trying to actually get people
and
out.
He also had no defense behind him, so we have that. So there was that.
In your mind, but.
No. The errors on the box score prove it.
So the Astros have lost 13 games this year.
Yeah.
They're 6-13. How many of those games do you think they've lost by four runs or more? I went back and counted.
Well, their run differential is bad.
Well, I mean, they've had some wild scoring. They've put it on people. People put it on them.
Yeah.
How many of those?
Of the 13 losses?
Of the 13.
Of the 13 losses, I would say seven of them.
Eight.
Eight of them.
Eight of 13 losses by four runs or more.
Wow. Yeah.
In baseball, that's substantial.
Yeah. They're not a good team. It's just not a good baseball team.
No, it's a. I mean, I guess it's a kind of a bad baseball team.
Yeah. No, they're one of the worst.
It's incomplete. I mean, your starting pitchers, Hunter Brown would be a starter. He would be a starter. However, he's going to lose his spot probably to Renel Blanco at some point. Renel Blanco is right now the best pitcher on the staff. But when you go to the bullpen, it's just unsettled. You don't feel – it's a point right now where they got to figure out, okay, if Seth Martinez is any good – He's had some really bad outings. He's had some good ones. They got to figure out Seth Martinez. A lot of these guys have to, you know, it's April, so a lot of these guys have to try to get into the swing of things.
When the guys get back, then you start to weed out, you know, those marginal pitchers in the bullpen.
Well, I think Seth had a chance, though, to be.
Yeah, Seth is probably going to be here.
Probably,
I mean,
so.
It's the Kunells and the and the Dubins and
Dubin is not going to be here.
No,
he's
right.
The one who.
I mean, you're this. This is so makeshift. I mean, we haven't seen this.
Yeah, that's my point. Is the bullpen is really now? I say it's makeshift, but you've still got Presley, Hader, Abreu, and Montero. All four of those. Well, I mean, three of those guys have been here for the last 2 years, going on a third year, and then you know, you add Hader to it. So there's four with plenty of experience. The problem is your starters
stink.
Getting to the sixth is a miracle right now for starters.
Well, and when you get to those guys, they've all stunk.
Yeah,
they've
at
all
different
stunk.
Times. Yeah, they have. So, first of all, it's hard enough to get to six innings. Let's remember now, this is a different era right now. There's fewer and fewer starters get to seven innings or complete seven innings than ever before in baseball. So your bullpen has to be deeper. But for the Astros, they've really had trouble getting out of the first three innings with their starters. So this is an excessive amount of bullpen. You're having to go deep into the bullpen in multiple games. Hunter Brown, you know, getting past three, that was a miracle yesterday. He got past three. Eric Geddy has gone, three and four innings so far in his starts. You're asking your bullpen to put together, you know, at minimum four and most times five and six innings now. That is a lot of pitchers that you're running through. And as you mentioned, a lot of these guys are not going to be here by the middle of July. Let's see what happens with Urquidy. Let's make sure Fromber doesn't have any setbacks. At least make sure Justin Verlander's good. But, I mean, the key is going to be Urquidy, Fromber having no setbacks and Urquidy. I'm to the point now where I'm not really counting on Garcia and McCullers, but I know they'll be back. So I just don't want to – I want to act like that's a mid-season trade acquisition when Garcia gets back. Because he's on schedule to get – he'll get back. It's just a timetable.
Speaking of which, you know, he can't rock the baby anymore. Did you see Nestor Cortes?
Yes. That's – okay, that's ridiculous. You should be able to do whatever you want, provided that – you start it before the clock starts.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
Major League Baseball.
That
Nestor
is
Cortes. Now, he doesn't do that every pitch.
No, but he did it, and it
right.
was fine. Why can't you rock the baby? If he can, he, like, faked to first and then did a little spin with his arm and then wound up and threw.
What's the point of that?
Who did all he, in one motion.
Who did he trick?
I don't know. Well, I think – I'm not sure if he got an out. I'm not sure what happened on the play. But it was it's ridiculous. If you can't rock the baby, but you can do that crap that he's doing.
If you didn't see it, I wasn't even sure how it was legal at the
no,
time.
No. I thought
I'm like, how – is this a – I've never seen this before.
Right.
It was one of the weirdest-looking things I've ever seen.
It looked like it was from the 20s, where they used to spin their arm.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it was crazy.
Barnstorming. The Negro Leagues are taking on this and then, the 1920s, this the barnstorming tour where the Red Roosters are taking on the
banana slug.
The Crow Hoppers. And this is a team of farmers from New York, upstate New York, taking on the Negro League. And here you see, you know, Wee Willie Wascal throwing it, you know, and the windups are so crazy and the exaggerated steps.
Kick.
Man, the 20s. 20s and 30s baseball. Can I just tell you, the Little League hitting coaches would have had a field day with those stride levels, not casting with the arms instead of keeping their hands inside. If Babe Ruth would have just started playing, can you imagine if he had had a hitting coach by the time he was seven and a pitching coach?
He'd have been Jake Marisnik.
And been able to.
They would have turned him into Jake Marisnik.
If he had a hitting coach and pitching coach by the time he was seven with some dads with styrofoam cups with their, you know, their vodka sodas, their ranch waters in it, moms out there with their golden gooses on.
Yeah.
If Babe Ruth's mom would have had some golden goose shoes and a dad in a sweater jacket with a vodka soda in the styrofoam with hitting coaches and pitching coaches and travel baseball that took up his entire weekends for about 10 years of his life. That guy would have been incredible.
Yeah, no, he'd have been the
Instead,
best.
Instead, he's got this ugly swing. He's overstrides, casts too much, overweight. You know, probably exit velo was trash, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just such an played against a bunch of plumbers. Just an embarrassing time to be alive. In the 20s and 30s before pitching, before hitting coaches for four-year-olds.
Right. An embarrassing time for our Astros, that's for sure. So
it is an embarrassing time.
It is embarrassing.
Just lost another series, this time to the Braves. But I
mean, another home game.
You didn't get beat by 7 or 8. You only got beat by 4 at home. But
lost 6 of their last 8 now.
They don't seem dangerous on offense.
No.
Except when they score 10.
But that's it.
Every once in a while they'll do that.
It's either an explosion
or nothing. Feast or famine stuff.
That's what they do. All right, we got some Rockets news for you. And I'm pretty happy about this. Rafael Stone gets an extension. He and Eli.
Eli Wittes. Eli Wittes has been considered one of the brains. That was with Morey, too. With Daryl Morey there, Wittes behind the scenes, I was told, was one of the real key cogs. And he's very important to keep in place.
Yeah. And I think they've done an excellent job. When you get a Tari Eason late, when you get an Alperen Şengün late, mm-hmm. when you take an amen, I think Cam kind of fell to him, right? I mean, if Cam Whitmore is there.
He did, but you took him.
Yeah, but right.
A lot of teams didn't take him.
Right.
And you took him, and, you know, the talent's undeniable. We'll see how his personality and health hold up. But I think that there's no denying the talent. I mean, this guy has the talent of a top five pick.
Yeah. And I think he's done an excellent job. I really do. I think 41-41 after, you know, the players that they had. I don't think it was his decision so much to keep Steven Silas for all those 3 years. But you know what? It worked out best. And the Rockets are on the rise. Oklahoma City won 41 games last year. And look where they are today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with good young players.
Yeah.
Of course, Chet Holmgren really worked out for him. That's really, really nice.
I mean, they didn't have him for a full year.
Yeah.
He's a rookie this year.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy is this is, you know, Chet Holmgren any other year is a lock cinch for rookie of the year, but Wembanyama is going to have something to say about that.
Somebody
this
was
year.
Making a case for Amen being on the
all-rookie team?
First team all-rookie. I mean,
he missed a chunk of season, but man, has he been impactful. Did you see Cam's, you know, I know the point per minute is a thing,
yeah,
but
right.
It's like, it's pretty ridiculous.
No, 12
his productivity
points in 18 minutes, yeah.
You know, Cam, Amen, and Tari Eason, when it comes to their productivity when they're on the court, they put up some numbers in different categories, but they put up some numbers.
Now. Yep. So it's over. The playoffs, the play-ins have started. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you, and I want to talk right now about my peeps over at Bulls shirts, okay? This is no Bulls shirt.
Whoa,
it is.
Oh, you can say that.
Yo, no, it is Bulls shirt. This is Bulls shirt. And these are, you've heard of them. They've been around forever. Over 40 years of service in Houston. Industry leader since 1980. These guys, any promotional need that you have, screen printing, embroidery, any kind of promotional item, Bulls Shirts is a one-stop shop. These guys personalize it all, literally. A company or team T-shirt, hats, protective headwear, koozies, cups, mugs, custom pop-up tents for your bar, whatever it is, coolers, lunch bags, backpacks, auto equipment, LED, light-up products. They've got it all. Bulls Shirts is the number one. It's not even close. These guys are the best. Visit them at bull-shirts.com. Tell them that you heard it right here. We've been friends with the Bulls Shirts guys forever. They are awesome. You'll love it. And they'll promote your business. You need shirts, you want koozies, you want hats, whatever it is that you're looking for in accessories to promote your business, bull-shirts.com.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about them Lakers? Is LeBron on a mission, Dell? There was a headline this morning, Nuggets better watch out because LeBron's on a mission.
I don't know what that means. I mean, the Pelicans are flawed. credit to Zion until he got hurt for trying to save them because Brandon Ingram was terrible. He beat a Pelicans team that they should have beaten. What does omission mean?
Well, yeah, he got slapped around by the Nuggets last year. But is there some revenge in his heart? Is he a vengeful king?
Is he a vengeful god? Were you going to say that?
Well, is he a vengeful king? Is he a vengeful? Because he is a king, right?
King, that's what I hear.
That's what we hear, that he's a king. Now the Kings got the Pels in this round, and to find out whether or not they get Oklahoma City. Without Zion, the Pelicans at home again, but I don't know without Zion whether or not. First of all, do we want him in to play? Of course, it's a hamstring. Is he going to be? Have we heard any word? Have we heard anything about Zion?
No.
But it's questionable whether he's going to be able to be ready for that first game.
Does he feel like Zion? That's the question.
Well, we'll find out.
He looked like the guy who was the next great one last night. Because as I mentioned, C.J. McCollum was bad. Brandon Ingram got benched. The only reason C.J. McCollum got back in the game is because Zion was hurt. He was great until the hamstring went. People say they saw him walking out of the arena not limping, but it's a hamstring, so he's gonna have to be explosive, and that can go at any point. So,
I mean, if you're limping, if hamstring injury is bad enough that you've got a noticeable limp, you're definitely
well. He
not
didn't have a limp.
Extent.
That was the thing.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's that's not necessarily an indicator of whether or not he'll be able to get through a game.
You can hide a hamstring when you're walking.
Yeah, walking away. So if they don't have him, and if
trust me, I've had a hamstring injury.
Yeah,
no,
yes,
we know.
You're an explosive athlete. We get it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Brandon Ingram
stretch better.
Yeah, sure. Brandon Ingram can't be what he was yesterday because he was terrible. Particularly if Zion can't go. And I guess we want to credit the Kings too. They're without Kevin Huerter and without Malik Monk, and they ended the Warriors relatively easily last night.
So are the Warriors done?
I mean, they're old. Klay is a free agent, and he was awful. He was 0-for-10 last night. He caught all the jokes on Twitter. I think I don't know
Steve
how
Steve Kerr mentioned how difficult it was watching him struggle.
Yeah.
He's so done. I mean, for me, if I'm Klay, you got to be thinking retirement. Unless you want to go pull your Olajuwon in Toronto move because he's washed.
Who would you rather bring back if you're the Warriors? Draymond or Klay?
Well, Draymond, they've already paid. Klay is the one who's a free agent.
Gotta go.
Yeah, but do they have to redo this team?
Well, the question is, do they want to burn the boats and go down and say, hey, we're not getting rid of these three guys, and if we have to suffer through the end, we'll do it because of the loyalty and all the titles. That's a question they're going to have to answer. But they were a very expensive team this year. The numbers are out about how much it cost them with the luxury tax and all that type of stuff, and certainly they didn't get the return. I think they will have a tough conversation with Klay and go, hey, man, we appreciate it, but we don't see a future where we're paying you what you think we should pay you.
You know, it'd be great for them. What they'd probably love is if Klay said, hey, I think the time's come. I want to retire and spend time with my kids, if he has any kids.
Man is 34. I don't know if I see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, he's an old 34 right now, though. He's also a 34 coming off of a couple years ago removed from – was it near Achilles?
He's had multiple injuries.
Was it near Achilles, though, that he –
I don't know if it was – it might have been an ACL. But this is Klay Thompson's year. We know, we talk about how washed he was, and he went 0-for-10 and 0-for-6-for-3. He averaged 18 points per game, shot over 43%, which is low for him, and 38% from three. That's not a guy who's going to say, I'm washed. I'm not the great Klay Thompson anymore, but those numbers would say he's going to believe he can contribute someplace.
Must get spot up threes. We'll take him on the – you know what? Mid-level exception, Rockets will take you, Klay.
I don't know. I want guys that
– not full mid-level.
Not 0-for-10, Klay. I'd much rather have the better Klay.
Well, you know, great at Toyota Center.
Would you like 38%?
He does shoot great at Toyota Center. He loves the background here.
I don't mind Klay. Klay's going to be a good shooter, spot-up shooter. I just think he's – it's a shame. I like to see players who, especially on a team that's had a great run, like, you know, we want to see our guy, like Biggio and Bagwell retired Astros. Altuve is going to retire an Astro. Hated that Olajuwon – I'm just keeping it local. Hated Olajuwon – finished anywhere else. I think Warriors fans, it'd be a real shame if Klay I mean, they've had an unbelievable run. If Klay Thompson played somewhere else, it's the business. But if he wants to keep making money, I mean, honestly, Golden State needs to cut ties. Just if they want to, because they're already, you've already got an older Steph, even though he can still really play. Draymond is Draymond. We know what that means. So, I mean, they're in, you know, they've been struggling for their playoff lives the last couple years. They need to, they really do need to turn the page and start the new chapter. And you're not doing it without Steph Curry. He's going to be there for that stage of it, but Klay Thompson's got to go. He's got to go. And if he thinks he's getting paid any, I mean, would he make $20 million a year?
Klay?
Yeah.
I ain't giving it to him.
You don't have it.
No.
It's not your money.
Yeah,
no,
Wendy,
no, no,
Wendy's
no.
not paying Klay Thompson.
No, Wendy is not paying Klay Thompson $20 million. I promise you that. No, if I'm a team, if I'm a smart general manager, no, I'm not giving Klay Thompson $20 million. No.
That's the, I mean,
Grace the mid-level exception is a little disrespectful to be offering him, but I don't know. Maybe 10. I don't know.
10? Oh, disrespectful. Grayson Allen just got about 17 and a half. Klay Thompson.
Well, he's a young worse Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Klay's probably going to get in the 20-plus range, maybe more.
God bless. Who's like, literally, that's, you know, that's like Sacramento might add him, or who's adding Klay? Teams who need spot-up shooters, like, well, Rockets could use a spot-up shooter. We don't have $20 million to throw on a and, you know, frankly, I don't want to add a 34-year-old. We've got older players now. We're fine. On
yeah, but don't
guys.
You want to add a guy who knows how to win? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But
I don't see him here. But
his role is, we're already talking about how hard it is to get minutes for any of these guys now because it's starting to get log jammed up. I mean, I don't know.
Plus how much you suffer
also,
defensively?
Warriors come out to play.
Oh,
he can't. Yeah. Him and Tari Eason would have a fist fight.
Well, no, they'll get along. They'll make up. They'll
kiss
and make up.
Klay is a 17-minute a game guy if he came here.
Yeah, they'll kiss like Justin Bieber and Jen.
No,
you better make up.
I would not say that.
They'll
with Tari
make
Eason.
Up.
Tari Eason didn't play those games.
Oh, Tari Eason ain't playing that game. No, Tari Eason is not. So the question, and speaking of money. The big topic yesterday was the $338,000 contract of the number one pick of the WNBA versus the $55 million contract of the NBA first pick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $55 million versus $338,000.
$4 billion in revenue versus $200 million.
Yeah.
That's between the two leagues. One person plays 82 games or paid for 82 games.
However,
the other one plays 40 games.
I you know, I know that you have to have, I guess it's got to be slotted. I guess it does.
Yeah, but this is going to be the Tiger moment. The more I look at this, this is 100% Tiger Woods for female athletes. She is going to raise the purses for the whole league.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be more revenue that comes in. If everything is set up with BRI, which is basketball-related income, which I'm sure it is related to BRI. If that's the case, the basketball-related income is about to, like Caitlin Clark, the same way professional golfers. Now I don't know if there's been a carryover. I'm assuming purses have come down since Tiger Woods was there.
No, they've gone back up because
okay.
of Liv.
Okay, so Tiger Woods had an astronomical effect on what golfers were able to make. The Tiger effect was huge, and I'm sure a lot of golfers would argue it should have been bigger, but the PGA did, you know, was hiding money or whatever the Phil's contention was, and he's probably right. Caitlin Clark is about to bring a substantial amount of revenue into that league, and so all the players who are kind of jealous or whatever, the same way they were jealous of Tiger Woods, a lot of players when he came into PGA Tour, they're going to be thankful.
They learned.
They're going to be thankful once they realize, man, more eyes, bigger television deals.
They learned.
Bigger revenue, more advertising. It's going to really help. Caitlin Clark's going to have a phenomenal effect on women's basketball.
Yeah, at first the fuzzy Zellers and the, you know, those older guys, they had.
It's not unusual. A little whippersnapper, they might say, who's 21 years old.
Or whatever those people cook.
Or whatever those 21-year-olds are doing.
Right, right. So they're gonna learn about Caitlin. Yeah, you know, Diana Taurasi's had her
words glad you
for
never won a Masters.
Already. And
I'm glad you never won a Masters. And
I cooked
following
Sugo for him.
Right behind you is you know.
I'd cook a sugo.
Matsuyama wins a Masters right behind you. And, hey, what? Hey, John, what do you think? What do you think Corey Matsuyama's going to have? No, no. I didn't know so that you would so easily trend in. Dell, can you come out here?
No. That's your job now. Sorry.
he's gonna make, you know, egg rolls, whatever it is he's going to make.
John, John is
Japanese.
He's Japanese, not Chinese.
Well, but John might still say egg rolls.
I might. You never know. 726 ESPN. Nice.
Dragon rolls or whatever it is.
Those people cook. 713-780.
No, I want to get into that more, and also Rafael Stone and,
yeah,
and Eli.
We'll hear from him.
Eli Wittes is behind the scenes, so that's kind of, but we don't need to talk about him as much as Rafael Stone.
We've got Ime sound and we've got Rafael Stone sound. Ime talking about the season, talking about Jalen Green and what he said to him. We've got, we've also got Rafael talking about the season, how it went, and what's expected going forward. I, my friends, am talking right now about my man Derek over at Houston Safe and Lock. And it's Houston Safe and Lock. Okay, the lock part is something that we really want to concentrate on, because there's, you got a business or even in your house, okay, do you have any locksmith service needs? Because if you do, they do everything, commercial and residential. And they've got this Medico lock. That is, if you're having some problems with your locks at home, Medico is the way to go. Because if you kind of feel like, hey, it's kind of, I don't trust anybody with my keys or whatever, they can't duplicate your keys. You're the only person that can duplicate your keys. Kind of a big deal. So if you're having any issues whatsoever, if you need to change your locks, and if you need to change your locks, then maybe something bad has happened and I feel bad for you. But get it done. Do it if you got to do it. And Houston Safe and Lock is the place to do it. Installation, rekeying, master key systems, access control systems. If you've got a business, you want this stuff, because you're going to know who's coming and going out of your business. 975safe.com or call Derek at 713-522-5555. It's Houston Safe and Lock.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to John and Lance, broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the club at Carlton Woods for the 2024 Chevron Championship. Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Hi, welcome back here live from the Chevron at the Golf Club at Carlton Woods, the Nicklaus Course. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We can start to see it now. We had a fog here in the media room that was so thick because of how cold it is in here versus how hot it is outside. It is ridiculous. Now you can start the frost from the windows is starting to dissipate, so we're able to see the green here now.
What's it supposed to be? It's nice. Going to be a little bit of a humid day for the ladies here today.
You going to check the dew point for them?
I will.
Are you going to talk to Angel Yin about her pot? How the dew point will affect
her game?
I'm
thinking they're less bothered than I am by it.
I think they are.
Something tells me a professional golfer is much less bothered by that. It's a high of 84.
It's a beautiful day.
And we're sitting in the 70s in dew point right now. It's not great.
It's a beautiful day.
It's not great. All right, so to the topics at hand, let's finish this Caitlin Clark discussion for 1 second, because what it means to women's athletics. We did see a change. Women's World Cup team did offer some change for the women's side of professional soccer, but that's still revenue driven. It's still going to be an issue for women's basketball. The revenue is going to go up. I mean, it's a year round league. The problem with the women's soccer is that you have Olympics, which you have World Cup, and which is U.S. women's national team, and then you have the World Cup and the Olympics, but with basket, but you don't have a year-round soccer league. You do, but that's not going to generate near the revenue or frankly, even the interest that a World Cup will for women's soccer. On the flip side, the WNBA is going to have a lot more eyes. They had, I don't know if you saw this, I think their ratings peaked. I don't know if it peaked or if it came out at 2.45 million, which is blew, as you can imagine, blew away the draft numbers for the WNBA. But ESPN said Caitlin Clark, you know, they attributed it all to Caitlin Clark. I actually don't think that's accurate for this. For games, yes. But I think there's some, you know, Angel Reese is a well-known, the people who watch it, did you watch 1 second of that draft?
No.
I didn't either. Because I don't really, like, I'm more interested in who the players are now who got drafted.
Well, are you arguing against yourself?
No, not at all. Here's what I mean. WNBA fans were watching that. A lot of people who are going to watch WNBA or who were or who maybe are converts to WNBA fans, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to watch a lot of WNBA games. That's just probably not going to be the case. But I don't think it's just all Caitlin Clark. Watching a game she's in, yeah, that's Caitlin Clark. WNBA draft, she's on for the first – you know, pre-game, obviously pre-draft show, I'm sure it was all Caitlin. And once she's drafted, a ton of Caitlin. But after that, Cordoza and Paige and Cameron, what's her name from Stanford?
Yeah,
Brink.
Yeah.
Her.
Yeah, Cameron Brink and Angel Reese. And it was way more than just about Caitlin Clark. So I don't know that that's like...
But yeah, but one of the girls, you didn't know her name, and the other one, you mispronounced it. I mean, it's not like...
With that, but I do that with Astros.
That's true.
So that's not... You're using the wrong person on that one.
Right, right.
But, so you've got all this... You know, you've got more eyes because of Caitlin Clark, absolutely. But I think people who are in on the draft wanted to watch more than just her. Do you see how the women dress?
Yeah, they were... They're
showing their feminine side, a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're showing their
feminine
side. I
like the veil that Angel Reese brought out.
Oh, she have a veil?
Yeah.
Angel looked good.
Yeah, Angel looked
good. Angel looked really good.
Cardoso, too.
Yeah, no, I thought, I mean, Caitlin Clark was showing a little skin. Did you see her with the top?
Who was the designer? It's the first time that they have been in the WNBA draft, that designer.
It's the first time they've dressed
anyone. Sean John?
That she what?
It's the first time. It wasn't Sean John. I think that brand in particular ain't getting a lot of run. Was it Prada?
No, it was Prada.
It's the first time they've ever dressed anyone in either draft.
Yes.
And who did they dress?
They dressed Clark. Caitlin.
They did?
Yeah.
This is what everyone said. Caitlin Clark was bringing sexy back to the WNBA. And that's
no,
a lot of people said. Many
no,
people
you
said
made
that.
That up.
Many,
you made
many,
that up.
Many people
no,
said that.
No.
And so now she wore. Oh, did she not wear a crop top? Did she not have midriff showing?
Yeah.
She's bringing sexy into the
I
WNBA.
I wish you would stop saying that.
She's got a boyfriend.
Is the WNBA a sexy league right now?
I don't
before,
know that.
Before this draft, was it? Because this draft, I'll tell you, they showed out. Like Cameron Brink, I mean. They're showing some skin now.
Do you think?
Wow.
I think they get the sex appeal.
Lance watched the draft to see some skin.
John, do you think the women who want you to pay attention to the sport and support it would like this part of the conversation?
Yeah, this is. Let's see how you know Nelly Korda's dressing this week, Lance. Okay,
and who, is that a golfer?
She's the number one player in the world. Yeah.
Well, let's see how. Okay. Paige Spiranak dresses this
well,
week.
That's a little different.
Oh, really? Is she in golf? How does she dress? Does
no,
she get
her
attention?
Whole job is to dress.
Who gets more? But my point is that I think the women understand. Look, I think the women understand in the WNBA, the people who are coming in. Hey, I don't know if they understand anything. That's what they like to. They like being pretty. They like being sexy. They like being.
If the guys can dress the way that they dress at the NBA draft, why can't the women?
I don't know. 100%
for the male gaze. I think they just like to look good.
I do too.
Whatever they wanted to wear.
I do too. But I do think there's some of that. Like Angel Reese is. Men love Angel Reese.
Skin shame.
And so no. I just thought it was. I thought it was interesting. And maybe this has been going on at all the drafts.
Yeah, you've never seen a WNBA draft.
I wouldn't know.
No, you wouldn't know.
No, but I do.
I'm
think
sure
that,
they dressed to the nines for those two.
I do think that this draft class is going to be a really big deal for women's sports, and I think that you're going to see salaries and many. I think it will double within a couple of years. You'll see all these draft classes double. I was thinking about this. So they get paid for 4 months, right? So Caitlin Clark at her highest is going to make $97,000. But we also know she's got a lot of advertising deals. So let's take the 10th player of the draft. And let's say they're slotted this year to make $70,000. She's got to find another job.
Well, she's got another job. Doing commercials.
No. Whoever the 10th player is
who
doesn't have commercials.
Yeah.
What if somebody who doesn't have commercials, will they go play overseas?
Yes, they
most of them go play overseas, including Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner had, yeah.
So they've got to play overseas. I'm sure. I don't know the answer. Maybe they end up extending WNBA into longer seasons so they can make more money off of it. Would you doubt that? That they try to make it a 60-game or a 50-game season so they can get more money?
I do doubt that.
Why?
I do. Because
if they're making money off of it.
We got to see. Because if you dilute the product, I don't know that you're going to have that many. The fans will be able to sustain that.
Well, we got
a television contract.
Come on, dilute the product. We got 162. They have fewer teams. We got 162 games in baseball.
WNBA is relatively new.
In baseball, people check out on the 162.
Yeah.
They check out on basketball on the 82.
It's too many. And you know what? It's too many. It's too, when we all understand that. 60 games might be too much for the
WNBA. But you care more at 40 than 50?
I don't care if they play 30, if you want to know the truth. It doesn't matter to me.
This is so diluted. I don't know that. I think people who like the sport, that's my whole point. I think the people who like the sport are still going to pay attention at 50 the same way they do at 40.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you pay attention never.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are there such things as casuals?
I don't want to change their game.
No,
I don't,
is there casuals for – if they listen to me, I can help them. But is there such thing as casuals for the WNBA?
Can we offer more suggestions? Like, hey, you know how the lingerie football league, those girls wear less clothes and they're showing skin? Can the WNBA go to that model too?
Maybe that'd be a model.
They were showing skin at the draft. Can they show skin when they're playing?
So, speaking of draft classes, how good is this 2021 draft? Cade Cunningham, most 30-point games from the 2021 draft class this season. Cade Cunningham had 18. Cam Thomas had 15. Jalen had 13. Alpi had 9. Look at these guys. Franz Wagner, Scotty Barnes, Murphy III, Ayo, Banton, Reeves, Kuminga, Bones, Giddey, Mobley. This is a pretty good draft class.
Yeah, ended up being a very explosive scoring draft class. You know, Cade Cunningham is the best player to come out of that. Well, Alpi may end up having something to say about
might
that.
Be.
Yeah, but for right now,
Cam Thomas is pretty good too.
Cam Thomas is really good. But Cade Cunningham, it's like he's in such anonymity. It's like if he scores 30 points in the fourth, does anyone hear it?
They're so terrible.
18, he did it 18 times.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, no one knew. Speaking of Jalen.
Every time I see him, he looks so sad.
So, Jalen, neither of us said, Jalen's one of the best, might be the best in this class. Ime talked to Jalen, and he had your exit interview with, he had his exit interview with Jalen Green. And, it's going to be interesting to see what the organization, how they really feel. Sure, you tell a kid something, and he is still a kid. But Ime had this to say about what he told Jalen Green at his exit interview.
Yeah, do it earlier, and we're playing right now. And so, like I said, everybody learns and adapts to things on their own speed. And he was a guy that I probably pushed harder than most to improve all around and not just be labeled on one end of the court as a scorer only. You have that athleticism and that competitiveness, do it on the defensive end. You get to anywhere you want on the court, make the right reads and, not take the contested shots. And so some things that he's done his whole life were being challenged. And so for him, it was just, this is who you are. And although you had your ups and downs, the thing about him I love is, like I said, his resiliency. He played 82 games, played through injury, fatigue, frustration, and never complained about it, never wavered from his work that he put in and was rewarded with that toward the end of the season. And so, that's the biggest thing. Like I said, it takes time for everybody, and you see the talent, you see the potential, and to see him fight through that and achieve that late in the season, we're all very proud of him.
That's nice. He did. He changed. He seems like he's coachable, right?
Yeah, I don't see any reason to think he's not.
He took criticism. Ime said the one time, right after he had 10 boards or 11 boards, he had a bunch of boards in a game, and Ime said, we went and looked at tape and said, Jalen, look at you just standing around here. You need to be more active. What did he do the next game? He was a lot more active.
Yeah, there's no reason to think he's not coachable.
No. And he's there for 82 games.
Yeah.
Right? He is explosive.
The frustration is with the inconsistency. It's not with the person. It's not with the off-court
right.
stuff. It's not, you know, I've got no, I thought getting KPJ out was huge for this team. I thought it when he was there in the building. And I know the Rockets organization loved Kevin Porter Jr., and maybe he's a great guy with them, and maybe he's just hyper-impulsive, and that's why he's gotten in trouble at three different times. But to me, that's just not the kind of guy you need in the locker room for a young,
right.
for a young team with no direction. But Jalen Green does seem like someone who is malleable in the sense that will take direction, will take leadership. I always find it interesting. There's a lot of times where coaches talk to players on the bench and they look like they're checked out. When Fred VanVleet, two different times when they showed the video, showed him talking to the guys on the bench, Amen and Jalen were both checked in on what Fred VanVleet were saying. Eye contact, listening. So I think Jalen Green, my issue with him is just is purely basketball. It's consistency. It's does he fit with Alperen Şengün? Is Jalen Green's best basketball with a team that has, you know, that doesn't have a scorer that can play in the mid post and the low post? I think that's a legitimate question. I think what's best for Jalen Green might not be to play for the Rockets when it comes to being the best player he can be. But if his number one focus is to make the Rockets really a great team and he sacrifices a little bit to do it, man, all I ask him is he make threes a little higher, become a little bit more efficient with threes and play with more consistent confidence. But I don't have any problem with him, with Jalen
no.
in person. I really never have other than, you know, I did wonder if he was too Instagram drip instead of
well,
ball,
not with
ball,
Ime, he's not.
But not now.
Not
like
with
he's
Ime.
He's young and he's got Ime solves a lot of those problems.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. Hilton will get you in on the other side. We are live at the Chevron Championship, the practice round, as they begin tomorrow for real to figure out who is going to be the first major winner of the season right here at the Golf Club at Carlton Woods. And maybe we'll have a little on the green afterwards. We'll have a little Maestro Dobell toast to whomever.
Maestro Dobell is, well, they're the official tequila sponsor of the PGA Tour. I don't know about LPGA. If not, we got to make that happen. But Maestro Dobell has been very active in terms of making sure that you guys know their presence. I've been speaking for them now for a couple of years. And I do that because I love Maestro Dobell. I told you yesterday, somebody's been stealing the Cristalino and the Añejo, taking sips from my bottle, pouring it out, and I went and looked and checked the bottle, like, where the hell did it go? Well, I mean, it's no wonder if you've ever had Maestro Dobell, you're going to want more, and that's why I'm just asking you to go buy your own bottle. That's all I'm asking you to do. Made by 11 generations of tequila makers over the years, they fine-tuned the process, and I can tell you this right now, when it comes to having a tequila that is smooth, having a tequila that's great for sipping, no one is going to beat Maestro Dobell. They are phenomenal. They're a premium tequila, but at a very reasonable price. You can find them at many of the different restaurants around town and wherever you can buy fine liquor. Ask for it by name. It's Maestro Dobell.
ESPN 97.5.
Big pond, big splash, big bag.
Now back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the club at Carlton Woods for the 2024 Chevron Championship.
Yep, we've got a major here. Want you to come on out and watch the ladies play because they are awesome. They are really, really good at this thing we like to call golf. And if you're a golf fan, we have the biggest event in the country right here this weekend. So get on out. And if you've never been to Carlton Woods, it's fabulous. It's fantastic. Just beautiful. It doesn't get any prettier here. I think it's our premier golf facility. Both of these, the Fazio and the Nicklaus, our premier golf facilities in the Houston area. They're just fantastic. So come on out here to the Golf Club of Carlton Woods and hang out with us this weekend and watch the ladies play. Hilton is here. Wants to talk a little WNBA. What's up, Hilton?
Let me tell you something. You guys are crazy if you think they need to add games. I owned the team, and we won four championships. I couldn't draw flies. I even tried giving away free flannel shirts with season tickets and nothing. That's a fact, Jack.
Hilton. That's not really Hilton.
Hilton.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember.
That's a fact, Jack.
And I tried to give away. Was he the $2 bills?
No, that's the scrap metal guy.
Oh, that's a scrap metal guy.
We've had some characters in Houston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Super Sam is now like Calm Sam.
Max started all that.
Max started all that. Well, yeah, you had Paul Bosch with jewelry wearing on his cauliflower ears, wearing diamond rings years and years ago on this IW Mark Jewelers. If they can make his ears look good, they can make anyone's ears. Imagine what they'll do for her. Then you had Mattress Mac jumping around. Then you had, years later, you had, I think there were some other guys too, but Super Sam was, lower prices, but now he's calmed way down. He's in a suit now. He's different.
What about?
Hilton Furniture, I don't even know.
He got smart, tough lawyer?
He got big for, I'm talking about the furniture
guys.
Well,
I know, but not only furniture guys, you had IW Marks, which you mentioned.
Hammer.
The Texas Hammer.
I'll beat the piss out of you. You say something to me.
Yeah.
Like, what?
They beat up cars with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's good.
We do some things in Houston.
Yeah, we do.
Hilton
just called us.
Yeah. We're going to, what is it? He wanted to chainsaw stuff. Ooh. Ooh.
7137.
No, Mac had a big impact on that. On marketing, without question.
713-780. Thunderbird transmission, Freddie says.
Yeah. We put the yeet. So you wouldn't know nothing about this, John. Del, can you see if you can find Thunderbird transmission? I don't want to do it without John. Just put Thunderbird transmission commercial, and you'll get to hear the jingle. And this is what we grew up with in the 80s in Houston for commercials. Listen to this Thunderbird transmission. And you'll wonder, boy, where does people get the thing that all people from Texas are running around with cowboy hats and cowboy boots on all the time? Listen to this commercial. Dell's got it right here.
Are you sure he's got it?
Yeah. Ready?
No.
Right.
No, he doesn't have it.
Why?
You can't just tell him, hey, Dell, get it, and then.
It should be easy to find.
Well, you got to give him some.
Are you even looking, Dell?
I have to keep talking to you. Yes, I'm looking.
Okay, no.
Are you sure that he's even listening to the show?
Yeah, he's listening. Why
are
would he
you
not
sure?
Be?
You're certain. Let's get Daniel in here, and then we'll hear Thunderbird transmissions as soon as we can. Thanks, Hilton, for changing the show to commercials, to all commercials all the time. I'm sure everybody's going to be pleased with that. Daniel, what about your Astros?
Oh, well, my Astros. What's up, guys? This is Daniel, or John likes to call me Praise Boy. How you like them two games?
The two games for the Braves.
Oh, it's the Braves guy that comes over to wait a minute. You jumped on board on the Texans, didn't you? And now you're back on the Braves? No. That's despicable, Daniel. Despicable.
Can y'all stop hurting my players, please? First all the Albies.
Yeah. Sorry, beat it.
Can y'all
beat it, Albies. For 10 days at least, beat it. A fractured toe. I wish you'd have hit him a little higher. Okay? That's all. Sorry, Daniel, with your team. He running around.
All right,
here
going
with
for the
speech
tonight, fellas.
On.
I'll be there in person. Everybody meet up at Cobos after. Shout out to Raul.
Yeah. Daniel hangs out at Cobos. And he comes out there with all his Braves gear on. Disgusting. No, then he had Astros gear. When the Braves were out of it, then he had Astros gear on. Which is embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself, Daniel. Okay? Stop doing that. 713-780-3776. Dell, did you find Thunderbird transmissions?
No, all I got is transmission stuff about the fourth Thunderbird.
Oh, so.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Are we sure that's the name of the commercial?
Yeah, apparently it is. Freddie thought so, too.
All I got is, hey, you want to figure out how to fix your fourth Thunderbird transmission?
That's it.
That's
you
all.
You want to figure that out? Figure it out.
No, it's Thunderbolt.
Okay. There it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Dale, are you even looking? That's a little different.
That's Freddie screwed me up. Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt motor and transmission. Classic Houston. I just saw it on YouTube right now. play this. It only takes 36 seconds. Listen to this. This is when we.
Well, he doesn't
jingles.
Have
that.
Yeah,
jingles used to.
He's the worst.
Jingles used to lock in with you, right?
We
like,
can
used to remember jingles.
We can play it when we come back.
Hudson 3-2-7. Right, fine. That's what we had, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson 3-2-7-hundred. what I got now is the Chevron Championship. That's what I'm talking about right here and right now. Come on out. Go to thechevronchampionship.com and pick up, get your tickets. Come on out here and see the best players in the world. This is the they're the best. And they are playing here for the title, the major championship. Lillian Vu, the defending champ, the who she lost to, we're going to be talking to in just a few minutes here, Angel Yin. And that is going to be a lot of – she is a character, and she's a lot of fun. And you want to, you're going to want to hang out for that. But these ladies, they can play. Guys, they can really play. And you want your daughter to see this. You want your daughter to come on out here and see a competition at the highest level. I'm telling you, it is awesome. And this facility is beautiful. And, oh, by the way, all of these stands, you can get tickets for the stands and the different, all of the different venues here. It's beautiful. What they have done here, it's incredible. This place is incredible. And you will have a big, big weekend. It is the mecca of golf in the United States this weekend. Let's get on out here and support the Chevron Championship. Go to thechevronchampionship.com, thechevronchampionship.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Come and experience the comfort and essence of Mexico at Spanish Flowers Restaurants. Locally owned and committed to treating your family like our family. From award-winning margaritas to our popular